This is Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Tennessee Congressman Marsha Blackburn, a Republican representing the Volunteer State's 7th Congressional District. She's also a member of the critical House Energy and Commerce Committee, which is dealing with a host of critical issues right now. But today we want to get her thoughts on the energy debate, specifically the cap-and-trade legislation, which could be headed for a vote here in the coming days. And Congressman, thanks so much for your time today.
Good to be with you.
Right now, we know that the Democrats are hoping for a vote on this very soon. We also know that it's not clear that even in the House they've got the votes to pass this. Where do you think it stands right now?
I think that every day that passes, every hour that passes, they run into a little bit more trouble and more resistance to this bill. People know that this is a bill that is going to pick winners and losers and that it is going to drive the cost of energy up.
In terms of the argument now, we have seen estimates across the board from several different organizations suggesting that if, in fact, this cap-and-trade bill passes, energy producers, other manufacturers will have to pass their costs onto the consumers, and we could see a couple hundred dollars a month extra in utility bills, meaning several thousand dollars a year in extra costs. Now we see an estimate from the Congressional Budget Office saying it's only going to be $100 or so. What do you make of the latest debate over what this will mean for the typical American taxpayer?
Well, the Congressional Budget Office worked their figures on the assumption that 100% of the extra taxes paid would be refunded to the taxpayer. So that is how they came up with that number of $125. The problem with that is there is no mechanism for them to refund that money. And when in the world have you ever seen a tax that was completely refunded to anybody? It's just not something that happens. And if you've got mechanisms in the stimulus and in the budget that spend all of that money, you know, they have tagged this cap and trade tax, this national energy tax, to help pay for health care, then how in the world do they plan to pay for health care? And do they expect that money to be returned to the taxpayer as government services that they assume the taxpayer is going to use? Are they planning to rebate that money? It all boils down to this. You're going to pay more taxes. You are going to see government take a little bit more of your freedom, and you're going to have less choice and less options, whether it is energy or whether it is health care.
Talk a little bit more about the lack of choice in energy terms. We've certainly talked about that a lot in the health care debate. Why will this mean fewer options on the energy front for consumers?
What it will do is pick winners and losers. And here's a great example. If you want to look at electric power generation, what they're doing is saying they want you to use wind and solar, and they're going to incentivize that. And they will punish, they've become the party of punishment, and they're going to punish nuclear and hydroelectric as renewable sources of energy and reward wind and solar. Now, if you're from the Midwest or if you're from a state like Tennessee, you can't rely on wind and solar for electric power generation. You have to use nuclear, or you have to use hydroelectric, or maybe coal-fired, new coal, clean coal technologies. And those are going to be methods that you use to generate your electric power. Well, our rates in Tennessee may go up as much as 42% under this legislation. You may see an area like the San Francisco Bay Area that would see no increase in their rates because they have the ability to rely on wind and solar.
You bring up an important part of this debate, Congressman, and that's the availability of these renewable energy sources. I know most people would be okay with this plan if, in fact, there were an abundance of wind and solar and so forth that wouldn't cost each state, you know, as much as you were just talking about. What is the explanation from the other side of the aisle when you point out that there's simply not enough of this energy available to make it affordable and available?
Well, what they feel as if they are doing is basically ratcheting down and encouraging innovation of those specific technologies. The problem is those technologies that they want to incent are not the ones that are going to help the country as a whole, and it's going to punish certain areas. You know, the same thing applies when you look at transportation. They want to push the lithium-ion battery and electric cars. Well, there are some regions of the country that electric cars are not going to get the job done because they cannot travel the distance that individuals have to travel every day. And they're still going to need to rely on gasoline or diesel or natural gas for their engines in order to be able to meet their transportation needs. So you have this picking winners and losers. You have this wanting to use only certain or specific technologies, and it's it gets to be a fairness issue for individuals that live in certain parts of the country.
Last 30 seconds or so here, Congressman. Do you get the sense in the end that this vote will fail, or do you think there will be enough incentives thrown in that a lot of the moderate Democrats that are very leery of this bill will eventually get on board?
Right now, they are having trouble getting the votes. The vote will be Friday or Saturday. They feel like they can cobble the votes together between now and then. My hope is that the American people are going to register their displeasure with this bill and that we'll be able to stop it and keep it from passing.
Well, Congressman, it's a critical debate, and as you mentioned, it could make a huge difference on the pocketbooks of Americans all across the country, some states worse than others. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Tennessee Congressman Marsha Blackburn, member of the House Energy and Commerce Committee, represents her state's 7th congressional district. This is Dateline Washington.